Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com. For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events, sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Hello, everybody. This is your host, Kim. Thanks for joining me tonight on Recovery Now, Brain Injury Radio. Well, we've had the first day of spring, although you wouldn't know it here in the Midwest where it's 30 degrees and the wind was blowing so hard today. I bet it felt like 20. I don't know. That doesn't feel like spring to me, but I'm really looking forward to spring coming and the colors popping and life coming out again. Pardon me. I'm really happy in the spring and will be glad to kiss winter off. So, in any case, I'm going to do a little bit of housekeeping tonight. If you want to call in either to listen if you're online or to ask a question to participate in the show tonight, our phone number is 424-243-9540. And I welcome your calls because I want to apologize to you guys up front. Sometimes on my show I have a guest and sometimes I introduce a topic and do a lot of research on it, and then we have callers participate on both counts. And as some of you know and some of you are about to hear, and I'll try not to be too redundant for those of you that have heard some of this before, I've been having a difficult, couple weeks at least. My dad had surgery on last Friday, and I've been doing 8 to 10 hours at the hospital every day since then. And since my brain injury in 95, hospitals aren't my favorite place. I get kind of claustrophobic, and I've got some neuropathy pain and some of the residuals that we talk about, I've heard you guys talk about too. You know, getting fatigued easily. The thing that I've coined, I think, there's probably no such thing as an original thought, but full basket syndrome. That's where there's too many new things coming at me at once, and I kind of freeze up. Emotional extremes, reacting stronger emotionally than what the situation might warrant, or going a little too far one way or another on the spectrum of emotions. Visual problems, kind of blurry vision, have to blink a lot. And I've got a lot of floaters that make me night blind-ish. Sensory overload, one of them where if there's too many conversations going on at the same time or bright lights and just too much sensory stimulation happening, you know, that can cause me some grief. And I got to say that stress and lack of sleep can really set those residuals that I carried with me out of my brain injury and take them from whatever level, you know, say the volume's usually 3 to 5 on that, on a scale to 10, and boy, you do lack of sleep and a great deal of stress, and mine go to about 15 in 3 seconds flat. So I've been stuttering and forgetting things more than usual, and kind of just every symptom I've got's kind of been flaring. And so we knew Dad's surgery was coming up last Friday, and we're kind of dealing with that the weekend before, and that weekend, my 93-year-old grandmother had to be rushed to a hospital under emergency conditions. And so within a week, my mom was looking at, you know, the real possibility she could lose her mother and her husband. My mom and dad were high school sweethearts. They dated all through high school, got married when they were barely 18, and they've been married 54 years. And so I can only imagine what that was like, what that has been like and continues to be like for her. And, you know, my heart certainly goes out to her. At the same time, it's my dad and my grandma. And there's been some pretty heavy feelings surrounding that. Everybody's kind of in a holding pattern right now with some things that frankly aren't going to be cured. There's just going to be some level of relief for a while. And one has a progressive disease, and the other one has got some blood clots that they're not going to operate on. And so it's just kind of a ticking time bomb. And I've had to think to myself, especially being around here the last 6 months or however long it's been, so you can all forgive me on my tripping tonight on mistakes of time and those sorts of things. What I learned in my own experience and certainly has been validated by all of you guys and your experiences that I've been blessed to hear is that we all get up in the morning and none of us have a guarantee. Even the most healthy young person walking around doesn't have any more of a guarantee when they get up in the morning than the old and infirm that we're going to be here at the end of the day, because life happens and, you know, the rest happens. And so, you know, one of the things that I talk about a lot on here is that, you know, we really need to enjoy every moment, you know, every moment that we can, because there are no guarantees. And most of us who listen to this show have gotten a second chance at life because we almost lost it once. One of the things that I've been really blessed about, or that our family's been very blessed about, is that my folks are both 72. My dad likes to joke that he married an older woman. She's 13 days older than he is. August 13th is her birthday and August 30th is his. And so I lost track of my point, of course. In any case, we really need to enjoy the time we... Oh, I was going to say, sorry. Okay, back on track. We've been really blessed because in all that time, in those 72 years, my folks have never been in the hospital before, never had surgery before, never had, you know, that experience to be a survivor of anything before that involved the hospital and surgery and cutting and all of that. So, you know, this is a really traumatic first-time thing for both of them. Now, me, on the other hand, at 17 years old, I broke my femur, the largest bone in the body, broke my leg in a horseback riding accident. And it was interesting because, you know, I went off that horse, I landed on my hip, but I also banged my head. And it's kind of funny that you guys have told me or planted the seed or whatever that there's a lot of bumps to the head that happened along the way for me long before I ever had my ruptured brain aneurysm when I was 35 years old. So at 17, I broke my femur, and that was a very serious surgery, and it took a couple of years. Even though I was a healthy young person, I had to have my leg pinned and walk with crutches for about 9 months, and then walk with a cane for about a year, and then have a second surgery to get that pin removed. And it left me with a big old ugly scar running down my right leg from about my hip to my knee, which, you know, at 17 years old, I was real self-conscious about. And I remember going out and going door to door to collect for some charity not too long after that had happened. And I had on shorts because it was in the summer, and an elderly gentleman opened the door and said, "Ew, what happened to your leg?" And I just burst into tears and went running down the street. That was my worst nightmare at that time, at 17 years old, you know, that somebody could call attention to something that I already felt self-conscious about, because it was so visible and it was so ugly. And then, you know, we move forward to age 35, and I have this ruptured brain aneurysm, and some of you have seen the picture of what I call my zipper head right after my surgery. And I was fortunate there, because only really the people who saw me in the first month saw that zipper head, because I was fortunate. The doctor only shaved half my head, and a creative stylist cut some bangs, and I kind of did a comb over like middle-aged balding guys. And so, you know, in a pretty short time, I looked normal. And so when I went out and about, whether I was collecting for a charity door to door, going to work, or whatever I was doing, nobody saw my injury this time, because I was carrying it inside my brain. I was able to cover up the ugly scar on the outside, on my head. And so the flip side of that experience at age 17 of being horrified that somebody noticed a change, a forever change in me that was icky, was at 35, nobody recognized a permanent change in me, because they couldn't visibly see it. And so when I would talk about, and I didn't talk about it very often, to be honest with you, in the beginning, there wasn't any support group around here. The doctors didn't ever recommend any follow-up treatments. I was fortunate that my life was saved by somebody in the chat room brought up my technical know-how, and it wasn't DJ, who is our resident technical person who looks up, you know, all of the technical terms and all of that. So Jenny caught me using that highly technical term, icky. But in any case, you know, you couldn't see what was going on, and I wasn't honest about what was going on. I lived in this secret world of post-it notes, and I'm blonde, so I would play off things, you know, memory mistakes and some of the residuals I had from my brain aneurysm. I'd play it off to blonde jokes. At one time in my life, I was offended by blonde jokes, and all of a sudden, I'm the first one telling them, because I would rather play something off at that time to a blonde joke than say that I was broken and that I needed help, because there wasn't any help to be had. And when I mentioned it, you know, to my internist, and nobody ever suggested I go to a neurologist, you know, he would throw some pills at it. The pills would make me sick. It wouldn't make me better. You know, some of us had even maybe put up with being a little sick if the medication actually helped what we were there to get it for. But, you know, when that's not helped and you just wind up getting secondary issues because of the drugs and there isn't any other help available, then different people would react differently. But what I did is just went into a vacuum, you know, went into isolation and did my recovery that way. And when you do that, it can be very easy to deny, you know, to put yourself in denial. And family members around you, because of the horrific thing that they had to experience and didn't know how to cope with, can enable you to stay in that denial and have expectations and demands and lots of other adjectives that try to push you back into performing like the person you were before. And if you're me, you try your hardest to do that. And if you're not able and you can't, you fake it as much as you can. And then I lived alone for a long time. So a lot of the emotions that were attached, you know, I would go out and show one face to the world. And then for most of my life, I lived alone. And that's where I would experience emotions. And that's where I would try to process. And that's where I would try to unwind from the sensory overload and some of my other symptoms. And I'd get a chance to recharge. So it's been kind of interesting since I got married in 2005. I have a husband now, somebody sharing the same roof. It's been interesting for me over these years to try to learn to be honest and to come out of the denial and to be real, I guess. You know, because the way I saw it, you know, if real is a negative thing, people aren't going to want to be around it very long, you know. And I get that, I hear that, you know, on this show and in lots of other contexts in life, you know, that when people become downers and negative soul suckers, you know, people will be compassionate for a while and then, you know, they want to go have fun and they don't want to hear it anymore. So I stopped talking. And then lo and behold, a little over a year ago, circumstances line up. So I wind up writing a book about my experience. And because it was a time where enough years had passed that now there was the computer highway, you know, things were, you know, my book and my story spread and one thing led to another. And I wound up here meeting my first survivors about a year ago. And have just been learning so much from all of them since, things that I didn't know. And I continue to learn those things. And there was a couple of things I wanted to share with you tonight. And then the reason I called this show Scrambled Eggs tonight is because that's about what my brain is at this moment. Because of all of the things that have been going on the last couple weeks and that continue to go on. There's a lot of big question marks out there. And when you have a tendency to maybe, you know, be a control freak or want to, you know, always know what's going on, it can be really torturous to have a big pile of question marks in front of you and know that none of them are going to be a great outcome. It's going to be the lesser, you know, the lesser of the evils. And those are tough situations to grapple with. And so I'm going to share a couple things with you that I learned in the last few days. And then I want you guys to feel free to call in, comment on that, or talk about anything that you want to. This is kind of an open mic night. I'm going to put a few things out there that I'd like to talk about for a minute. And I can do that because it's my show and we all have those moments. And then I invite you guys to call in, talk about whatever is on your mind, kind of like what I'm doing. This is a support group and, you know, in a lot of ways. Sometimes we put self-help and sometimes we put social networking on the description to the show. But basically, you know, this whole channel was designed as a place where brain injury survivors would be able to come and meet like-minded people and be in a nurturing, supportive environment where people understand. And so that's kind of what I'm counting on tonight in one of my least planned shows as I'm shooting from the hip. And so you guys be thinking about what you want to talk about, maybe in just for a moment what I'm going to say. And I see I have some comedians in the chat room, and that's good. Because Well, there's like three things I want to talk about. One of them, you know, the big umbrella around a couple things that I'm going to tell you is that, you know, I said in the program notes, talking a little bit about when the survivor becomes the caregiver. We're not going to talk a lot about that because I don't know anything about it. I am just on the first step of a long staircase of that journey, and I am clueless. I didn't even admit to my own problems till about a year ago, and I didn't even start learning about my own problems till about a year ago. So, you know, it's been a full-time job trying to take care of me, and, you know, with different degrees of success and varying degrees of success. And so now I'm looking at some uncharted turf, and my folks, fortunately for them, had siblings, and they were not the ones in the primary driver's seat when it came to their parents. So I haven't had that behavior modeled to me before. So, you know, not only am I clueless, but I haven't had the behavior modeled. But then I didn't have the survivor behavior modeled for me either. That was something that I learned by myself. This end of it, you know, I don't want to learn it by myself. So I'm gonna start learning. But one of those challenges, I think, for all of us at one time or another in our life is, you know, we have some of us have some challenges left over from our brain injury that just make living life day to day when we're on our routines and things are going fairly level, you know, we're even challenged to stay at that level on a good day. But when these huge stressors come up out of the blue, we're challenged to meet calamity with serenity. And I'll say that again, meeting calamity with serenity. And how do we do that? We try to keep some semblance of balance in a tornado that's going around us with extremes from one end of the spectrum to the other that we're powerless over. At least we're powerless over a lot of the conditions. And sometimes the only thing we're not powerless over is how we respond to those conditions in life that come up and pull the old tablecloth trick out from underneath us. You know, we think we're standing steady on our pins and things are going good, and boom, all of a sudden there we are on our tush again and trying to figure out how to gracefully get up and keep our balance going. And so one of the things we do on here on All of Brain Injury Radio, but on my show Recovery Now, is talk about tools of recovery. So later, one of the ideas I might plant in your head about what you guys want to talk about, aside maybe where I'm at today kind of topic, is, you know, offering some tools that you found effective when you felt like you were drowning and in over your head, things that have helped you. And now I'm going to put a period on that sentence, and we're all going to see if we remember that in a few minutes, and I'm just going to tell you two quick things that I learned this week. While my dad's been in the hospital and I've been up there, that caused me some stress, some surprise, and kind of blew me away over and above just the challenges of what was going on. And one of those, you know, I make a rule, and rules are made to be broken, so track with that one with me if you can. I try not, you know, to talk about politics, religion, national or international issues too much and try to stick to the realm of recovery, but I'm going to have to talk about government and insurance for just a moment. And I want to warn all of you in the chat room and in the audience that if you don't like any of the topics I talk about tonight, stay tuned because they're going to switch kind of rapid fire. And so you'll be able to jump in and, like I say, offer your topics pretty soon. But, okay, so one of the first things I noticed, my dad went into the hospital on Friday, went into the hospital on Friday to have back surgery and remained in the hospital, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Monday afternoon, I went up there. I was up there. I had been up there every day, and as I have since. And that was the day that a social worker was going to be meeting with, I don't know, a nurse who doesn't get her hands dirty anymore, a coordinator of some sort. And they were going to talk about the disposition of which way my dad was headed. And, you know, he was going to be needing some rehab. And as some of you know that have government insurance, and I wanted to point out real quick that the people who voted for government insurance recently in the last couple of elections, back in Hillary's reign, they affected the group employee benefit insurance market. And what's going to happen in 2014 has to do with the individual insurance market. And, you know, that's when we'll become completely government insurance. But, you know, the concept of government insurance isn't new in this country. Medicare and Medicaid and VA have been government insurance since their date of inception. So anybody who's had experience with any of those three already knows something about government insurance. And I'm starting to learn. But in any case, like I told you, my dad went in on Friday. He's still in the hospital on Monday. And they're saying that he's going to need rehab. And they informed us then, not before, not in these months before, or in the couple weeks before that we knew he was going to have surgery. None of the doctors mentioned to us that they had coded my dad as an outpatient, and that those subsequent 3 days, 4 days, whatever it was, at that point that he had been in the hospital didn't count as being a quote unquote inpatient. And Medicare has a little rule in it that says you have to have 3 days of inpatient hospitalization before Medicare will pay for your rehab. And so a new way that the government has found to get away from paying is by adding a whole new chapter of conditions that they're going to call outpatient surgery, even though your butt is in a hospital bed for the next 4, 5, 2 weeks, getting all the services that a quote-unquote inpatient would have. They're going to call you quote-unquote under observation, and somehow that makes you less of an inpatient than the person who was coded a patient. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is my dad's back surgery was, I think it was called a laminectomy. It's those lower L's and the S that goes underneath it. And you might not think that that affects you. Someday it might. You know, a lot of us walk crooked, or, you know, things have happened and someday we might need back surgery. But the point of the matter isn't the back surgery. The point of the matter is back surgery isn't the only thing. As I was arguing the case with these two women, the social worker and that nurse who doesn't get her hands dirty anymore and just makes judgments and coding, is that Medicare has recently added a whole list, a third of a book of procedures that are going to be handled the same way. Even though you're not an outpatient who goes in the morning, to me, I don't know, I'm not a Phi Beta Kappa, but to me, an outpatient is somebody who goes in the morning, has a procedure, and gets dismissed later that day. And to me, if somebody goes into a hospital, not an outpatient facility, but a real live hospital, goes in, gets surgery, remains there for several days, I don't know. call me crazy or brain injured, but to me that, if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, they say it's a duck. But in the government's eyes, it's not. Because they can just say, even though you're sitting there looking at a duck, they can tell you that's a donkey, and that's the fact. And you don't have a choice, and that's what we just voted for. And we're not going to know about it. And I can think of a couple reasons why. My dad had a neurosurgeon, a neurologist, a pain doctor, and an internist. It's possible the reason that we didn't know this until he was about to get put out on a curb Monday and 10 grand to go to rehab was going to come straight out of their pocket. It's possible that the doctors weren't communicating with each other. And maybe one thought the other had let us know what the skinny was going to be. But the fact of the matter is nobody ever did let us know what the skinny was going to be until Monday, when they were saying, you know, that he was going to have to go get rehab. And, you know, I don't know about where you live, but here, you know, there's a couple rehab facilities you'd like to be in, you know, if your insurance is going to pay like you assume it's going to, since you've been paying the premium for a long time. And that was the whole idea behind insurance in the first place, you know, is that there's only a couple places and they got, you know, a limited number of beds. And so it's not like calling a hotel and saying, do you have a vacancy today? And being able to walk in the same day. I learned that the way that works is they've got to come out and do an evaluation on you. And that there's people waiting for those beds. And then, I don't know, some arbitrary invisible person's going to throw a dart and decide who's worthy to have those beds. So you just can't get caught in shock on the day that something has to be done. Or you might wind up in a dump or on a curb or with a whole lot of out-of-pocket you weren't expecting. And so the first reason I brought this up to you guys is a heads up. Because if you ever have to go in for a procedure, I guess while we're talking about advocacy for ourselves in some other context, on this radio show, that you actually have to ask your doctor, even though you know you're going into the hospital, you're going to be there a few days, and there may be a need for some further rehab, you're going to need to try to remember to ask your doctor, is this going to be coded as an inpatient? Or are we going to play Medicare games? Kind of like reindeer games. My mom called our internist that day freaking out and said, you got to change those codes. You got to change those codes. Do you realize, you know, nobody gave us any heads up on this. Do you, you know, and she's freaking out what the problem was and all that. And the doctor's answer was that they got to be real careful. They can't go in and change those codes. The government dictates to them. And they don't distinguish between a healthy 20-year-old person getting a laminectomy and a 72-year-old person with Parkinson's getting a laminectomy. They don't see it as being any different. They just see that word. So if you're a brain injury person and you're going in to get a procedure, they don't see you being any different than somebody who doesn't have all the stuff you have who's going in to get the same procedure. They treat it all the same. And so, you know, the doctors passed the buck was, you know, they could get in a lot of trouble for Medicare fraud. They can't go in there and be changing codes and stuff. Oh, sorry. That's the way the system works. Well, if that's the kind of, you know, help and advocacy you can get from your doctors, then I guess I'm just wanting to give y'all an FYI out there. I've never been very trusting of the medical, traditional medical community. I give them credit for saving people's lives. But I guess I have more of an expectation out of their job description than what they feel they need to give. And so, you know, that was his deal. And as I sat there with Nurse Cratchit and the social worker, I said, wow, you know, it's amazing that you guys have got your ass covered everywhere from Sunday on this Medicare fraud deal, but there's also a patient's bill of rights. And to me, it appears to Medicare fraud just as valid to say that somebody who was admitted to a hospital for a surgery and whose butt is still in that bed 72 hours later, that he's not an inpatient. Is that not as much of a lie and fraud as the kind you're talking about? Well, the difference is that that particular Medicare fraud is sanctioned by our government. And so I'm not going to go a lot farther with that one, except to tell you guys that because of a HIPAA mistake they made in front of a friend of my dad who was visiting him at the hospital at that time, God has seemed to look out for me in a lot of ways, and now he's helping me, who's crippled emotionally and otherwise at this task in front of me right now. The hospital, this guy was up visiting my dad, who's been a friend and client of his for about 20 years, and luckily, in front of the client friend, one of the nurses came in and, in a big way, violated one of the federal HIPAA codes. And so the way that I wound up getting that 3 days paid for my dad, and we can't all count on getting that lucky, and I couldn't have counted on it either. God gave me the grace to be able to save this situation for my parents and get that 3 days in the hospital that we needed, but we can't count on that, so we need to be aware. But, you know, it was me basically threatening the hospital that a HIPAA violation had been made that would be landing on the hospital administrator's desk with the attorney who witnessed it in an hour if they didn't figure out a way to get my dad the 3 days he was entitled to. And somehow, magically, that worked out. And I won't go into all of that, but my dad's in the same hospital on a different floor now called the rehab floor. And he'll be there for a while getting his rehab, and he is considered an inpatient now. So this rehab will be covered, and it won't come out of their pocket, because my parting shot was, if that money's coming out of my parents' pocket, it's going to come out of their pocket first, and then it's going to come out of your ass when I bring the attorney down here in about an hour to visit the administrator of the hospital. I will get the money back. But, you know, we can't always, again, count on that. And I'm not blowing my horn on that. What I'm saying is I was blessed. I was lucky. But we're not always blessed and lucky. And so this is something I felt like you guys should know. If there's some kind of a procedure that you got to go into the hospital for, none of us are going to sit there and question when we're getting admitted to a hospital whether or not we're an inpatient, for criminy's sake. Why would we question that? We're getting checked into a hospital and we're still laying there. So I'm going to move on, and I'm just going to say an FYI to all of you out there is that if you do have to go in and get a surgery, she said to me one of them was a hysterectomy they added to it. You know, some poor woman in there who's got to get a hysterectomy, you know, they call that outpatient, but if her circumstances are such that there's a complication, though, that keeps her in the hospital for 3 or 4 days, they're still going to consider that an outpatient surgery. But whether it was that one or not, the lady told me there was a third of a book added to Medicare's code book full of new procedures they're going to treat this way. So I don't have that list. Right now, I don't even know where to get that list. That's kind of up DJ's alley. I don't want you to look for it now, DJ. This is simply an FYI to my audience, that be careful. You don't know who you can trust these days. You don't even know that you can trust your doctor these days, because sometimes, you know, whether they just don't feel it's in their purview to do anything more than sew us back together, you know, they sure don't hesitate when it comes to them getting paid, do they? Making sure that we have insurance, making sure that they're going to get their tab paid. They don't miss a beat on covering their end, but they don't think they have a responsibility to us to give us the same consideration and heads up. So, last time I'll say it, if you have to go in to get some kind of a procedure, it may be a good idea to ask your doctor, am I going to be considered an inpatient in the event that I need rehab? I want to make sure that it's going to be paid for by Medicare, as it should be. And the only way to do that is this three-day hospital stay so far. So that's my first thing that I wanted to make a comment on. Now I'm going to make one more comment. When I was up visiting my dad, I happened to be there when this rehab thing floor, I found out, is the rehab floor I would have been on in 1995 had they seen fit to send me for any rehab. But because I could walk and talk, they just cut me loose. But it was a real eye-opener for me because the first, you know, there's a whole team of therapists, and a lot of you guys know this, but indulge me for a moment. I didn't know it because I didn't have the experience. But there's a whole team, you know, you got what, your speech therapist, your occupational therapist, your physical therapist, and a bunch of other ones, and they're all working out of the rehab deal. Well, a speech therapist came to get my dad when I was visiting and invited me to come along. And I asked if it was okay, and it was. And so we were sitting there, and the first thing the girl started out with was, I'm going to give you a list of words. And there was like seven or eight words. She says, I'm going to give you a list of random words. And when I'm done, I want you to say those words back to me in the same order. And so, of course, I'm sitting there listening. My dad's the one getting the test. But she does that. And the first word was apple. Okay. Now, the way my mind processes is that my mind locked on the word apple because it was the first one. And I was listening to that next couple, but I lost them and wasn't tracking by the time they got to the end of the list of seven or eight words. Now, my dad, the 72-year-old with Parkinson's who just had back surgery, rattled off all of those words. I mean, he wasn't taking time deliberately thinking about them like I would have to do. At this point, he just rattled off the words. Now, he did miss one, but then the gal says, I'm going to give you a choice of three things, and you tell me which word it was. You missed one. And she said, pencil, pen, and hippopotamus, or something ridiculous. And he says, pen, and that was the right answer. So as soon as he had that prompting, he remembered, you know, that word. And then she says to him, now, keep that set of words in your mind because we're going to do a few more exercises and then we're going to come back and you're going to spit out those words again. And then they went to a few more tests and one of them, I'm not going to go through all these either, but one of those tests was a thing about numbers, and it was the same thing as the letter deal, but it was with random numbers. And I'm more intimidated for some reason by numbers than words. And I did even worse on that in my mind, you know, than I had done on the word. Yeah, Sarah was, Sarah in the chat room for our live audience. Yes, a test just like that. So then they go to the numbers. And, you know, my dad did real good with the numbers. And again, dismally, I did about two of them. And then they wanted him to say them backwards. Good God, my heart started racing. I thought I was going to be having to bend over between my knees and ask for a brown paper sack to breathe into, and it wasn't even my test. You know, it gave me such anxiety to even think about it, let alone try to do it, for God's sake. I couldn't even remember the list of words, let alone if I could have said them backwards. And so I'm feeling pretty bad by the time we get to this thing. Well, anyway, a couple more tests go by. My dad is doing real good on those tests. His is going to be a mobility issue, is a mobility and dexterity issue, not a mind issue at this point. Praise the Lord. Or not. You know, maybe you're luckier sometimes if your mind isn't all the way there to be able to process some of the things that are happening to you. But I don't know. I won't judge that. Let's just say it's good. So then they go through the story problems. Mary, the stockbroker from Chicago, marries Harry, who does such and such. Their kids, Mutt and Jeff, are, you know, one's in high school, one's in junior high. Gives a little story and then goes back and asks what is the wife's name, what is the kid's name, and a bunch of questions like that. And then some money problems. You have $1,000, you go pay $500 for something, you pay $23 for something, how much money do you have left? I am horrified at this point internally. I'm happy for my dad, but I'm thinking, geez Louise, if I would have had this therapy 17 years ago, now 18, I had an anniversary in January, 18 years ago, if I would have been going through these tests, I wonder what the treatments were. I'm never going to know because my dad's not going to have them. He doesn't have the problem. But what I learned sitting there that day, the good news is my dad did a real good job on those. The not so good news is 18 years later, my dad, whatever the scale was, my dad got all but three right and excelled, and he's probably not going to have to go back to the speech therapy part. I guarantee you, it was like an hourglass flipped over for me as I was answering those questions. I probably got less than a fourth of them right. And I don't know what the treatments would have been to help on those things, because nobody ever told me. So that was a little realization that I had when I was sitting there, as I found out that a speech therapist doesn't just deal with speech therapy. Apparently they deal with memory and a couple other little tidbits too. And that because I had an invisible injury, again, the doctors didn't have the foresight to give me the heads up that even though I was sewed back together and they saved my life, that there might be some things I'd be butting up against in my future, and that these treatments would be available for me, or that it might even be recommended, you know, after I was out of the ether and my zipper head was covered up, to maybe test me for some of these things and get me some treatment that I needed. But that didn't happen. So that was the second revelation for me, again, I guess this week, is there's a lot of things we rely on our doctor. I remember in Nana's generation, and even still, my Nana's what I call my grandma, my 93-year-old Nana with the blood clots. Back in those days, two generations ago, they believed that doctors were gods. They thought because, you know, they were so much more educated and they knew so much more about health that what they said was the gospel. They didn't understand, like a lot of us do a couple generations later, what the meaning was behind the term practicing medicine. Practicing medicine means they don't have it perfected. You know, it means they're practicing and they're always evolving. And again, that it's important if we can to be our own advocate. And part of the thing that I found upsetting, like about that insurance thing I talked about in the beginning, is that somebody like me, I'm not going to speak for you guys. I'm going to let you do that in just a few seconds. I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to give a word to our sponsor, and then you guys feel free to call in and talk about whatever you want. But the thing that's really challenging for me as a brain injury survivor is when I suffer from something like full basket syndrome and sensory overload and some of the things I mentioned to you in the beginning, it helps for me to be able to plan and not get caught off guard where I got to make a decision right now about something I am clueless about. It unravels me and folds me like a deck of cards, and then I'm not effective. I'm going to make poor choices, and I'm not going to be able to be my own advocate. So the best way for me to be my own advocate is to have as much information as I can, and to have the time to process it, because I process information a little slower than some people sometimes. And so I need that preparation, and I need that time, and I need that go-to person, because when I'm in the heat of all of these residuals flaring up at the same time, I get angry and I get impatient. And like I said, all those things start flaring, and then I can't make 59 calls and guess. I need to know who the person is that can find their ass with both hands, who works in that field, who can point me in the right direction and tell me what it is I need to do, because I can't guess. I'm not capable under the gun anymore of guessing or figuring it out alone. So I guess if I can't rely on my doctors or the traditional medical profession to help me, then I need help from other survivors. I need to learn for myself that I need to prepare a little ahead of time. Like, I might not have a need today for certain things, but I can maybe foresee in my future. And I don't mean being paranoid and going overboard. I'm just saying, you know, if you're the kind of person that has something that might need rehab someday, you know, you got a problem going on, like maybe my dad's back problem, or, you know, I know a couple people in our chat room right now and that are listening are people that have had procedures before that they've had a pretty good idea they're going to need some rehab for. And I'm not talking about, you know, the accidents and the ruptures and the things where we didn't have time to think about it. I'm talking about some of those things like what our Sunday night host Matt went through, where, you know, he had a little time ahead of time to know he was going to have surgery. You know, I remember us all sitting here on the radio one night before Matt was going to court. And again, this isn't blowing tooting our horn or anything like that, but, you know, he was going to court like the next day or something, and he was finding himself in a similar situation to what I'm talking about right now. And that's, what do I do? I'm not prepared for this. This is uncharted turf. What do I do? And several of us sat here that night, and we all simultaneously Googled and threw some ideas out at him. We were all under pressure, not as much pressure as Matt. He was the one that was going to be paying the piper and facing the piper the next day. But the rest of us were all brain injury survivors. But we were able to come together as a team, and as I understand it, provide him with a little information that helped him when he was in front of the firing squad. He wasn't in there completely vulnerable and, you know, unprepared. He had some bullets in the proverbial gun, or quivers in the proverbial arrows in the quiver, to be able to go in and fire. And so that kind of preparation, if we have the chance to do it, I've had a tendency to think, well, I'm a day at a time kind of a gal, and I'd like to deal with things as they come up so that I don't toxify my mind or get into negativity or worrying. I try to deal with it a day at a time as it comes. Well, now I guess one of the things that, a new thing I learned the last few days that I have to do to help meet calamity with serenity, is that while it still is a really good idea to live a day at a time, there's certain things that I, at least, even if I don't want to do the research right now, I need to find out who the go-to people are. Because when the day comes where I've got a day or two or four to plan in a highly emotional situation where I'm having all my symptoms flaring and I am beat up, wondering if I can even get out of bed that day. I'm in so much chronic pain. I also have fibromyalgia and a neurological problem where they damaged a nerve in my face when they did my brain surgery in 95. So I've woke up every day of my life for 18 years in some kind of pain. And for those of you that have suffered with pain, you know that, you know, the residual of brain injury that makes you be fatigued faster, if you add pain to that, you're fatigued even faster. You know, and the more fatigued you are, the squirrelier your thinking becomes. And so, you know, we try to do a day at a time and keep ourselves balanced. And, you know, one of the tools for me in meeting calamity with serenity is prayer. And I'm not selling any organized religion. I'm not even selling, for those of you that don't believe in prayer, I'm just going to plant one seed, and that's when you're in an option reduction situation, prayer may not help you if you're a non-believer, but it will never, ever, ever hurt you. And so if there's a chance, you know, if there's a chance it could work, and you're in an option reduction situation, it's worth a try. It's worth a try. And if you're not in a place where you're hooked up with people who understand how you operate, if you're not fortunate enough to be by a peer, you know, a support group of some kind where you can talk to people who understand how you process, then you're able to talk to someone, whether you believe in God or not. And I do. So I'm going to go from that standpoint and just give the disclaimer that you guys are free to think however you want, and I don't judge it. I'm just going to tell you how it works for me. And that's that, at least if I can talk to God and pray to Him for the strength and courage to help me get through life on life's terms, a day at a time, with as much grace and balance as I can have under a duressful situation, I will really appreciate it. Because I heard once that God gives us the strength when we need it. And my answer to that jokingly is I wish God didn't trust me so much. Because it seems like sometimes He lets me go way past where I think I can handle it before the cavalry comes in and gives me some help. And so I've missed a lot of things, meals, sleep, been under a lot of stress, but again, along the lines of meeting calamity with serenity, prayer has been something I've used a lot. I go to a support group meeting a couple of times a week that has nothing to do with this. It doesn't have anything to do with caretaking. It has nothing to do with brain injury radio, but it is a physical, tangible place where I drive to and show up, and I've been going there about 25 years, and that is important. When all of a sudden your routine gets thrown off and you have limited time and you have to start prioritizing, you know you're going to have to, you're not going to be able to do half the things, you know, that you are normally able to do, then you got to do a quick line list of prioritizing what's going to be the most productive for you in this situation. And there was a couple things I thought of, and one of them is, even though I don't have the time and I need to do these other things, what I need to do to be able to do the other things is to show up at these support group meetings that I go to a couple times a week. One of the other things I need to do, and it would have been easy, you guys would have pitched in and I could have found a pinch hitting host tonight for me and I could have taken the night off. But this is one of those other things in my priority list where I need to be and where it's going to help me to be, because you guys are here and you're listening, and a lot of you understand because you've been through things like this before, and most all of you have been survivors. Some of you have also been caretakers, and you guys know more than me. And you also know the difficulty I might be having in processing and with my residuals under the gun. So this is a safe place for me. And so the prayer, the support group, regardless of what yours is, whether it's on Brain Injury Radio or maybe you're going to a PTSD support group or an abuse support group or something else that's been very important in your life to help keep you balanced, those are the things that you need to keep in the list. You know, maybe not getting your nails done, maybe not getting your nails done, and maybe your roots are going to grow a little more, and maybe you got a dent in the car that needs to be fixed, or an oil change that needs to be done, or you know, you need to get to the grocery store to stock up on bonbons. Well, you know, a couple of those things are probably the things, even though I think they're all really important and I'm really frantic about it, I got to pick out the couple I can do that are going to be the most productive, that are going to keep me on my feet so that I can be of best service to me and of most useful service to those that I need to help. And so with that, the show's booked for an hour and a half tonight, and I just rattled on for an hour of it. So you guys prepare to call in. I can keep talking, but I'm going to start unmuting some mics, and I'm going to hope you guys have some things to talk about. And it doesn't have to be anything that I talked about. It can be, you know, basically, like I said, the name of the topic tonight was scrambled eggs. That's because where my brain is. I know you've all had that in your life at one time or another. And this is kind of like, I'll give you another joke. One of the other things I'm trying to have is for meeting calamity with serenity is a sense of humor. And sometimes when your heart is breaking, it's hard to find a sense of humor. But that's kind of why you go to these support things and why they become number one priorities, because other people who've been through the same stuff also understand that you got to have a sense of humor with yourself and with other things, because you need to break the toxic place your brain might be in and you're not able to help it. And I've used that analogy before for those that are old enough to remember the old LP records and how it used to get stuck. The needle would get stuck. You'd hear the same part of the song 59 times till you walked over there and tapped it, and then it would skip over that skip and it would go on with the song and everything would be great. My mind works like that sometimes. And I forget, you know, when I'm under duress, I forget some of the recovery tools I talk about on my own show, for God's sake. And so, you know, I come to these places like here and some of these other places because there's other people who can identify with me and remind me of what I need to do in a kind and loving way, not in a judgmental, criticizing way, but in a way that says, I understand, and have you thought about, and maybe talked about some of the things that have worked for them, or maybe just given an ear, and let me talk. And that's what I want to do for you guys too. You know, anybody who's got something on your mind today, certainly feel free to talk about that. I'm going to do two things real quick. One of the things you guys noticed, may or may not have noticed, on the program page of mine, and if you guys are on the telephone, and one of the things I'll tell you, remind you of in the terms of housekeeping, is that all of our live shows, we're on 7 nights a week, 7 different hosts. There's actually more hosts than that because a few of them are floating. But in any case, we're on Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week with 7 different hosts, each bringing their own flair and twist to the table. We're at the same time, same phone number, and so we are available for these shows. That's one means that is a real blessing of support. And the other thing I'm going to let somebody else talk about later, because of these family things and the radio program, I learned that one of my limits is that right now I'm real excited about a new project we're in the process of launching, and I'm trying to keep my hand on the pulse of the big picture so I can keep promoting it on the radio show, but I can't participate in it more right this minute because my basket's too full and I'll wind up screwing up all of my tasks. So I just need to, focus on the couple things that I can do. But I am excited because aside from our radio show, which is on 7 nights a week where survivors can come and get information and support, the radio shows are also immediately archived and located on the on-demand section on Brain Injury Radio. And if you're just feeling lonely, isolated, just having a hard day with your stuff, and you don't happen to be feeling that way during a live show, go in there to the on-demand shows. Flip through, some of the topics, listen to a couple of the different hosts, and you'll be able to get some comfort there because, first of all of our hosts are survivors. And so you're going to be able to hear another survivor presenting a topic, and then there's call-ins on almost every show, and the people that call in are generally also survivors or caregivers. And so even though it might not be live, it is another source of peer support for you. And now the one I'm really excited about that's brand new, and I'll have someone else call in and help me with the exact time that this is going to launch, is that we're really excited about unveiling, for those of you who haven't heard about it yet, a peer-to-peer 800 number that is going to be available 24/7. And that, as I said, is going to be a phone number where circumstances like I just described. And I will make a disclaimer, whether it's the show or the peer support line that's going to come any minute. And again, I'll ask for help. I don't want to get on a big discussion about this, please, with the callers, because more will be revealed, as I like to say. But just know ahead of time on any of these programs and on peer support, we are not doctors. We are not professionals. We are not psychiatrists. We are not lawyers. We don't work for Social Security. We are simply survivors. And by virtue of the name of that new project, peer-to-peer support, that tells me it means one survivor talking to another. And sometimes that's going to mean just being able to identify with someone who understands what you're talking about. And you're going to have somebody else to talk to. You're not going to have to wait 17 years to talk to another survivor and say, hey, is this normal? I'm having these symptoms. Is this normal? I'm scared to death. I'm not remembering things. And my short-term memory seems to be kind of wiped. Is that something you've experienced before? And another survivor is going to be able to talk to you about that. As for the cure, and if there is one, we're not going to be able to be qualified to tell you that. We might be able to tell you things that we personally have tried and what has worked maybe for us and what hasn't worked. But, again, we're all different people with different chemistries, so you can't take for gospel, that what worked for me might work for you. So, for the most part, my understanding, and again, somebody who's more involved right now in the peer support line can certainly call in and say, but I think the two primary things that's going to be good for is, like I said, peer-to-peer support, where one survivor gets to talk to another just in general about their experience, strength, and hope. And if it gets into an area that we aren't qualified or for compliance reasons or HIPAA reasons or whatever reasons, we just aren't the one to answer that question for you, then we're going to have a list of referral numbers that we'll be able to give you that might help you get to a person, that go-to person I was talking about earlier, you know, that you need, who isn't just guessing, who actually works in that field and might be able to give you an answer. Because I don't believe in wasting a lot of time. One of the things I kept hearing, and then I promise I'm going to shut up, one of the things I kept hearing that was a real pet peeve for me, and it was obviously some of it had to do with because I was tired and frustrated and all of the rest, but I kept hearing these professionals saying, probably, and I don't think, and, oh, I'm sure that won't be a problem. Well, you know, probably, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure not, I don't think so. Those are so vague. You know, those are so vague and not concrete. And it makes me question the validity of what we're discussing. And me personally would rather not waste my time with somebody who doesn't know the answer to the question. I'd like to move on. One of the things I learned from my rupture is that life is precious. And I don't have a lot of time to waste talking to people who don't have the answers and who are just guessing. I want to find the person who knows the answer. So even if we give you a referral line, as far as I'm concerned, if you hear somebody who uses the word, I think, maybe, probably, too many times, hang up and dial back. And with that, I'm going to thank our sponsor, one of our sponsors, Gordon Johnson. Gordon Johnson is an attorney who specializes in TBI-related cases. If you have any litigation concerns involved with your brain injury, please check out tbilaw.com. That's our sponsor, Gordon Johnson. He is a seasoned attorney in the area of TBI litigation, and he'd certainly be a good one to check out if you need that kind of advice. And hopefully the first thing he won't say to you is, I think, or I would guess. I'm thinking that he's going to know the answer. If you're asking him something about TBI law, I would expect that he's going to know the answer, or he's going to know the person to send to get the correct answer. So we do want to thank our sponsor tonight. And I do want to also thank Craig Cecilia, who started this Brain Injury Radio 2.5-3 years ago, got it up and running, because he had the foresight to recognize that the associations do a good job of sending out flyers to help raise awareness and advocacy, but have not all gotten on board with the concept of peer-to-peer support, which it's great to educate the public, but in the meantime, there's a bunch of us survivors running around out there, and not all of the associations have been able to provide any link to peer-to-peer support. My dream would be that every single association, whether it's Brain Aneurysm Foundation, TBI Association, or whatever the other related ones are, that every single one of them would have Brain Injury Radio's information on their website, like maybe a category that says resources for peer-to-peer support. And they would put the ones of their own, if they have any. And if they don't, I'd like to see every single one of them around the country have this new peer support line listed, as well as Brain Injury Radio. Because again, even though we're on a couple nights a week, 7 nights a week, you could be listening to on-demand shows here 24/7. And now we're going to have a peer group support line where we're available 24/7. And if you're an industry or a rehab center or anybody who's making your living and the food going in your mouth and the roof over your head is because of the Brain injured community, I would hope you'd be committed enough to go a step further and let them know about peer support that might not be related to your organization, but that I feel it's incumbent on you to do because you say you're very dedicated to this segment of the population. And if you are, you do a little more than just make the public aware. You help the people that are actually suffering from it. The awareness helps people in the future, but there's a whole bunch of us that have been suffering this for a long time, and we deserve that report, you know, that support and awareness too. So with that, if you'd like to call in and make a comment of your own, and again, it doesn't have to be related to any of the 50 topics I threw out there tonight. Please feel free to throw out your own or make any comment or observation. Also, if you have ideas that you'd like to think about or you'd like to hear about for future shows, I won't go into this a lot, but Craig has so many topics going. Those of you that know Craig, you know that he's a huge advocate and awareness guy, and he's got his finger in so many pies, from going to Washington to advocate, to expanding brain injury radio, to divining this peer group support, getting everybody trained right now. He's got camps this summer. And so one of the things he decided that he needed to do for himself was that each of these projects are related, but they're separate. And so he made a decision that there was going to be a person or two that would be the go-to people for each project. And so if you have questions, as of now, as of a few days ago, about brain injury radio, and you have a complaint or you have a suggestion about a program you'd like to see or a guest that might be good or just anything, you know, anything that has to do with brain injury radio, certainly you can contact any host. But Les Paul Morgan, the Tuesday night host, and myself, Kim Justice, the Wednesday night host, have been put in the position for, I think, a year. We'll worry about the details later, but as of right now, for a while, we're honored and privileged to be in that position and want to be able to help as much as we can. So I'm speaking to both our listeners and our hosts. We're here to serve. We want to put brain injury radio first and our egos second and try to help as many people as we can to the best of our ability. And so if you do have questions, concerns, or comments, please feel free to get a hold of Les Paul or myself. You're free to keep trying to call Craig, but Craig's going to probably be diverting you back to us. And sometimes I have trouble sometimes getting a hold of Craig, and it's because he's so busy. And so a lot of you, if you're spending a lot of time wanting to talk to Craig about something that has to do with brain injury radio and you're frustrated because you can't reach him, by the time you do reach him, he's going to tell you to get a hold of Les Paul or me. So we'll talk to you about ways that you can do that. You can certainly get a hold of us on the Facebook page, Brain Injury Radio. There's a couple more things we need to iron out. For right now, I'll tell you, if you want to get a hold of me, and it's because it's the only thing I know for sure, and my brains are scrambled eggs, thus the name of the show. I can tell you one way for sure to be able to get a hold of me for the audience that doesn't already know how to get a hold of me is that you can go to the website inaflash.org, and there's a tab that says contact the author, and that sends an email directly to me. And I know that there's going to be others that we're going to be telling you. There's probably one on braininjuryradio.com, but to be honest with you, I don't know how to use that right now, and I'll be learning soon. But in the meantime, I want to make myself available to you guys. And so that's the way I need to do it for right now until I get the absolute answer. And again, that website, and I'll type it in the chat in a minute when I put on my first phone caller, is inaflash.org. Little tab up at the top that says contact author, and it'll send me an email directly. So you can certainly get a hold of me there and know that I will see it. The other thing is that sometimes, you know, we don't see things. You know, we get busy, and if you post it on Brain Injury Radio and I happen to miss it, thank you, Jenny. It's in the chat room for those of you that are there. Jenny helped me out, and I appreciate the teamwork that we all have here. I have a lot of gratitude for the team we're building here. We're all pulling on the same oar. I know that, you know, people can have disagreements from time to time. That's normal because we're all human beings. But the bottom line is that we're all team here, and we're putting Brain Injury Radio first, our egos second, and the desire to sincerely want to help survivors and caregivers not go through some of the, I'm going to use that high-tech word again, Jenny, the icky things that some of us have had to go through. If us sharing our experience with you can keep you from going through some of the mud pies we've had to step in, that's what we want to do. So I want to thank you. I think I've done the commercials for the moment. So I am going to, let's see, the first person on the line, I'm going to unmute. I got a couple callers. Again, feel free, 424-243-9540. And I know I keep making guys promises, but it's 10 minutes until the end of the live show. I will be having overtime tonight. If you guys want to stay for the overtime, please call in now to 424-243-9540, and that will keep you on the show into the overtime. If you don't do that, what will happen is that in 10 minutes, the live show will end, and you will be able to hear the rest of the show. Overtime is always recorded, and when you go back to the on-demand, you will hear the entire show. But if you don't want to be done or cut off in 10 minutes, please call now to 424-243-9540, and that will keep you on the show into overtime or as long as you want to stay beyond 10 minutes from now. So I'm going to take the calls in order, and the first call I have tonight is Les Paul Morgan, and he is our Tuesday night host. Les Paul, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Well, I just want to say, Kim, I know you were talking about full basket syndrome and all the things that are going on in your life right now and how hard it's been, and I know it's had to be very hard with all the things going on with everyone. But you've done a fantabulous show. Despite that, you have carried on all the way through it when you were thinking you couldn't. That shows the power of the human mind and the human spirit to fight through the D-I-S ability word. I don't even like to pronounce it the way it's pronounced because I don't like the beginning of it. Because I don't like being disenfranchised, disassociated. Dyslexic, whatever you want to start the D-I-S with, they always have a negative term with the first part of that word. That's why I spell it abilities in all capital letters on the end. But, I mean, you've done ginormous tonight. You've been fantastic. And you've been talking about you didn't think you could make it through the show. And I'm just proud to know you and all the other people on the line. I'm looking at all the names I'm seeing and different hosts and things. And we make a family, and we make a village, and we make a nation proud when we step out of ourselves and come forward and are willing to serve and help other people with brain injuries make it. Today, I'll just give you an example of what I did today. We had Brain Injury Awareness Day in South Carolina at the Capitol today, and it was very cold. It was really cold out there, and I wore a short sleeve shirt. I was freezing out there. I should have worn a long sleeve shirt and a jacket. I didn't watch the weather, and it was real warm yesterday. And so I went down there, and I was just shaking. But I watched one person brought out their young child. I think she was 3 years old when she was brain injured. And the mother was sharing this beautiful little daughter's story about how her brain injury happened. And they were showing people of varying ages, and one man was in the military, and he got his injury in Iraq, I believe. And I can't think of his name, but he's just an awesome guy. I've met him before. And I was just looking at all these faces and thinking about all the people on Brain Injury Radio I've met and all the wonderful people we speak with all the time. And it blows my mind to think that, wow, we're the people that were not expected to make it. We are supposed to be full basket syndrome 24/7 in their eyes. And yet look what we've created, all of us together. I mean, this is beautiful. Your show's beautiful tonight. I'm not going to keep on talking, but thank you for such a wonderful show tonight. Matt, I was thinking about you when she was talking a while ago about how you went through so much with the law enforcement and everything with you and your dad, and how we used the ADA. I remember Matt called me the morning he was supposed to go to a trial, I believe, and he was asking me some questions, and I'll tell basically what I remember saying. I don't remember all of it, but I said, say you're an American citizen protected by the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, and they know the ADA is a federal law. Sometimes it's not enforced very well. Sometimes it's treated bad, but I would love everyone who listens to Brain Injury Radio, every host, to study the ADA to the best of your ability, because it's laws and regulations designed to protect not just brain injury survivors, but all people with disabilities. And we need to know, because I have a feeling somewhere tonight in the United States, or even in another country, someone's in jail with a brain injury that doesn't even know where they're at, and they've been accused of something. Or someone may have died overnight, and people are looking for that person, and he's locked up. Or his not locked up, but his life ended, and they're not, the law enforcement's not saying anything because they might have done something wrong. They might have done it perfectly right. I'm not saying the law enforcement does everything wrong. I love law enforcement. They keep us safe, but they need to be trained properly how to handle brain injury survivors too. And I'm not going to keep going, but you just keep on rock and rolling tonight. You've done great.
Well, thanks. It's Sarah mentioned in you know, that it was cathartic for me as you guys tonight, and it's one of the things that, you know, one of the things I say a lot in those prayers: God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And there's a lot of things in my life I don't have control of right now. But one of the things I could do was come here tonight, even unprepared. I could show up, get here, and even if I wasn't such a blabbermouth, there's lots of people here, hosts and guests and supporters alike, that you know, that are able to contribute to the show. So I really appreciate you being on, and if you want, please stick around and roll into overtime. I do apologize that I talk so long, because we're running down to the end of this, and I see I've got Keith, Anthony, Jenny, and Sarah, and if you guys will bear with me for just a moment, she just gave me the 90-second mark, and I don't want your question to get cut off right in the middle of the live audience. So if you don't mind, if you would hang on, I will take all of your calls right after, in 60 seconds to be exact. But what I'm going to do again is thank all of you. I'm going to do my regular closing, and then for those of you who have 60 seconds, dial 424-24-540 if you want to stay. Again, I want to thank our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, TBILaw.com. I want to thank all of you for being here. Many blessings to all of you. Thanks again for being here for the show tonight. We'll see you next week. Going to close the show in the usual way with something I believe that we all have, and that's A Guardian Angel. This is Guardian Angel by Leah West. I encourage you to check out her too at leahwest.com. I'll see some of you at the other side of 51 seconds. Good night. God bless to the rest of you that have to leave. Thanks for being here.
God replies, yes, it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, it won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you.
Okie doke. We're on the other side of the hour in overtime. Thanks for those of you that stayed. Les Paul, I will bring you back on. Our second caller was area code 484, and I believe that's our friend Jenny from Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hello, Kim.
Hi, Jenny.
I'm going to make it short tonight. I had two comments to make and one answer to one of the questions that you asked. My
Great.
First comment is, first of all, Kim, we are all your one person. Anytime you need us, we are here for you. Second of all, I wanted to comment and compliment you because your voice at the very beginning of the show was very sad and down. And by halfway through, your laughter and your cheer and your joy and your passion came through. And so it just made me so happy.
Thank you. You guys helped that.
I wanted to say what you were talking about was balance and what has helped me as a survivor. And what I realized, and I wrote it down, is what helps me is writing, doing support for others, and deciding for myself what's best for me and me alone before anybody else. I don't want somebody else telling me what's best for me. I have to decide that on my own. Also, I have found from you guys, you have helped me develop faith. And the song Guardian Angel is my favorite because I realize I have a guardian angel. We all have a guardian angel on our shoulders. So no matter what happens or wherever we go, I and we are never alone.
That's right, and that's an excellent point, Jenny, and I appreciate your comments and support. And, you know, it's amazing because, like you said, you know, I started out with that just tiredness of the day, and I was watching the chat. It made me feel really good to see friends out in the chat room and to know that there's friends out there listening that understand. I saw some of you cracking wise in there, and because I know you and I know your personalities, it made me smile, made me laugh, and this is a place that I feel purpose and where I can do something to help others. And there's some places I can't do that right now, and this helps me help myself, because one of the things I haven't been doing is sleeping right, eating right. I haven't been doing a lot of things right to take care of myself because I'm so ill-equipped, I guess, right this minute at the survivor, looking at being the caretaker, and these are the baby steps, and we all kind of learned in our recoveries that when we tried to take too big a strides too early in our recovery, it made our situation worse for a little while. And so we all learn our boundaries and we take baby steps. And you know, this was one of mine tonight. So I really appreciate your comments, and I totally agree with everything you said about the tools that you brought up. Those have all been effective for me too. So I thank you for your comments on that.
Well, just so you know, you are loved by so many. When you come here, you just absolutely brighten my day and brighten my heart because I love you, and I know a lot of other people that listen to you and are part of the family love you, and people that don't know you and just listen to you will love you because they will hear the spirit and the passion in your voice.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I really do. You know, tensions run high, but, you know, I'm an only child, and, you know, my mom and I, you know, when people are all tired and all stressed, you know, it can be kind of ugly, and that's too bad at a time where you need to be together, cohesive the most, that can be the time. And I've heard you guys talk about it before here, even in regard to your brain injuries. You know, it can either bring a family closer together or it can cause some real strife. And again, it's nice to come to a place where, you know, people get that. They get what's going on. And I really appreciate that, you know. And less than a year ago, I didn't have that option. And so I feel very blessed today that I did. And I feel very blessed for your friendship and your kind words. So thank you.
Well, like I've told you before, your family, you now have a sister. Whether you like it or not, you can't get rid of me.
Well, good, because I don't want to. So I appreciate that.
Well,
okay.
You had a great show tonight, and you just keep on rolling.
All right. Well, thank you. And I am going to wind up unmuting everybody. But what I'm doing lately, because we've had some feedback, Les Paul told me about some real problems that Penny and Kathy had over the weekend, and I had to miss the shows over the weekend. And I will have some suggestions for a couple of the hosts on how you could maybe mitigate some of those problems. But I do want to let our callers on. And Keith Anthony, I'm sorry I had to miss your show on Saturday night. I was pulling tough duty at the hospital, especially over the weekend right after the surgery, but you're on the air. And
I didn't do a show on Saturday. That was the previous Saturday, I think you mean, maybe.
Oh, well, I was at the previous Saturday, so I guess I just missed you because you're a swell guy.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sorry I was in late for your... I was sitting here twiddling my thumbs when your show was starting, thinking, it's another hour. So I came in at the end, which is really unfortunate. So I've got no idea what I've been missing. I don't know what you've been talking about at all. I don't know whether you want to fill me in briefly, but are you not well, Kim?
No, I'm... Well, no, I'm not well, but I'm not the one that's primarily... I'm reactionarily not well. My family's having some health issues, and
oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so kind of rough. I've been pulling 6 to 8 hours every single day at a hospital, and it's been tough duty. I mentioned briefly. I won't go through my whole show again, but I did mention ever since I did a long stint in a hospital back in 95. They're not my favorite place to be, and they kind of give me claustrophobia and some...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the last time I'll use that word, Jenny.
Uh-huh.
Three, one show's too many, but, you know, just some kind of icky feelings, you know, pulling, 6, 8, 10 hours every single day up there.
As in visiting.
Visiting and... I don't know if a lot of you have noticed these days, but, you also have to help an awful lot. You're not just sitting there anymore because there's less staff these days, and some things are needed right now for the patient, and they can't wait until the nurse gets around to it. So, you know, there's some other things that I'm doing with that are kind of in their job description, but it's... what you got to do for your loved one when they need it.
Yeah. I remember when I was in hospital, and I've only just remembered, first time in 35 years I've remembered this, but when I was in hospital 35 years ago, once I started to recover, they had me mopping the floor and stuff, making the teas and coffees and what have you. And I always found that remarkable. And I'm much healthier, by the way. I've had a really bad migraine for about 5 days. It's gone now, I'm happy to say.
Good.
But I'm really sorry I missed your show.
It's okay. It's in the archive, or catch it next time. It wasn't the most profound show. I'm going to pick up another caller in a minute, but I started to say something before the live show ended, and gosh dang it, I wish I wouldn't have done that, because I wanted everybody who was on to hear it at the time. But before any of the rest of you leave, I want to say real quick that I started to say it and then I got derailed. But at the bottom of my program notes on Brain Injury Radio for tonight, for those of you who just called in, you might want to go check on your computer at my program notes. At the very bottom, I said, for next week, you may want to, and then
homework.
You may want to do some homework, and I'm just going to tell you really briefly, next week, my guest is a woman named Anne Strong, and she is a coach of sorts. And what it's based on, anyway, what I put at the bottom of my page is a thing that costs $9.99. It takes you 30 minutes to do. It asks you a variety of questions. You can't pass or fail. But what it is designed to tell you is what your five strengths are. And the reason I chose to have her on as a guest is that I happened to, in a different context, two different times, take this test in a business environment. And one of the things I noticed, some of us, you know, when we come out of our brain trauma, we know who we were, and we start finding out we can't do all the things we did before, but we're clueless about how to move forward. And we go, most of us, because we go through the grief process of mourning the old us and figuring out who the new us is going to be, there's a couple moments in there where we might even think for a moment that we don't even have strengths anymore, that we lost them. Well, the truth of the matter is we all have some strengths that were imprinted in our personalities from the time that we were born. And a premise that the Gallup organization makes, and this lady is not with Gallup, but that the Gallup organization, the old Gallup poll you guys have all heard of, one of the things they do besides taking polls is this strengths finder testing. And the premise is, no matter how many times you take the test, if you take it 10 years apart, you know, your top five strengths are always going to come up the same, no matter what, because they're just things that are imprinted in your character. And the premise behind it is, and they use it in a work context, but I'll tell you how I tweaked it, that if you're working within your strengths, those top five things, whether it's a job or in recovery or in working on, you know, our new job is, you know, how we're going to live the rest of our life sometimes, how we're going to find our sense of purpose, what we're going to do. It, you know, job might be looked at a little bit differently than they're talking about in the corporate environment. That's why I didn't go directly to Gallup. I went to a woman who went through Gallup's coaching program, and she does work with small businesses, but I had a long talk with her, and I said, you know, it's a small business for somebody who's recovering from a brain injury or any other major medical problem, who's not going to be able to go back to who they are, that they're going to question whether they even have any strengths. They're going to question their self-esteem and their confidence. And one of the things that's going to help them move toward recovery is that recovery becomes their business for a while, and maybe for the rest of their lives, you know, because my contention is that recovery is an ongoing process throughout our lives. And so I thought it would be kind of cool. Now, I did the Strengths Finder, like I said, twice, so I can do this interview with Anne. We can talk about her book, and we can use my stuff as an example. But I thought it would be kind of fun if any of you were interested and had the 30 minutes and the $9.99 and you wanted to, it might be fun for you and helpful for you to know what your five strengths are, because it'll tell you immediately after the test, you know, it'll give you a piece of paper you can print off that tells you what your strengths are. And then when Anne is on my show next week, instead of just talking about my strengths and talking in general about her book, those of you, if any of you choose to do this, then your call can be a little more personal and you can say, well, one of my strengths was blah, blah, and ask your question or have her explain to you a little more about what kind of applications for that strength you might effectively utilize. So that, again, that's at the bottom of my program page. You got a week to be able to do it, because next Wednesday night this lady will be my guest and that'll be the show. And I just thought I'd give you guys the opportunity, if you chose to, whether it's to ask this gal a question or not, is that you might think it was fun to know what your top five strengths are. There's another way that you can do this too. I didn't have time to put on the program notes, and it's more, a little more expensive, is you can go to any bookstore, and I think it's in the business section, but just go to the information section and tell them you would like the book Strengths Finder 2.0, and I'm going to type that into the chat room for those of you that might not have gotten it. Sorry, I'm having some problems. As I mentioned, Strengths Finder 2.0, and that's a book, a hardback book that you can buy, and it costs a little more than this $9.99 thing on the computer, but it's also worth the money if you buy the book, because it actually gives you a blurb. There's something like, I'm just guessing because I'm not clicking on all eight right now, but let's say there's 36 possible strengths a person come up with. The test is designed to give you your top five. And so if you buy that book, in the back of the book, there's a secret code. And the secret code will allow you to go on the computer, and instead of paying the $9.99 or whatever it is, you'd type in the secret code from having bought the book, and it will allow you to do the test. And then you actually have the book that will describe in detail about those strengths and the ramifications of them. And that's all I'll say about that. But I did want to remind people of that. And if you think you know anybody that might be interested, since I didn't tell this before the show went off live, some people might hear it in the archive over the course of the week. But, you know, if you're talking to somebody you think is interested, you might, any of you who are able to do it, you might want to copy and paste that last paragraph of my program notes. And I'll also do that, and I'll put it on my Flash page and Brain Injury Radio tomorrow morning. But it's just, if anyone else wants to participate in that, they can. Otherwise, you'll simply find it an interesting show. So anyway, it was, I'm going to let you, were you done with your comment for just the moment? And I'm going to wind up unmuting your mic again in just 1 minute. We just have one other person with their hand up. Up to you.
Are you talking to me, Ken?
Yeah, up to you.
I can't remember. What comment was I making?
You just hadn't caught the show, and so I just told you a little bit.
Yes. Well, I've already been told off in the chat box not to talk to you about it, so I don't want to upset anyone, so let's not dwell on it. And I'm sure it was a fabulous show. I'm just sorry I missed it all.
Oh, thank you. Hang on, if you like. I'll be right back to you. Like I said, I just got one other person with their hand at this moment, so I'm going to take that call, and then I'll mute everybody. The other night, there was apparently a problem, and now Keith Anthony reminds me it wasn't him that did the Saturday show. I was missing. Penny and Kathy did a show, and apparently they had some issues with sound. And again, I'll remind callers and hosts alike that, you know, when you call in, you got to have your speaker down, because otherwise that can cause an echo. And another thing that I noticed one night is, if you're a Skyper, I Skyped in, and on that program page, right underneath where the pictures are flashing, there's a bar that shows the volume, and you can see when the speaker, the host or whatever, is speaking, because that bar is bouncing back and forth like a volume bar would. Well, if you happen to Skype in, there's a little megaphone thing by where that volume bar is bouncing back and forth. If you click on that, it'll put an X through it, and that will just leave the sound in your Skype, in your headset or however you're Skyping, and that will also cut down that echo, because it kind of works like having two speakers on. I've noticed that on myself before, where I've Skyped in and I haven't turned the volume off on my program page, and it's given me that echo back that gives me that vertigo feeling. So those are two suggestions or reminders for the other hosts and the guests. If you have if you're on the phone and you got your computer on and the speakers are on, turn them off. And if you Skype in, turn off that little megaphone underneath. And Keith Anthony says you can also press the play button so that the player is turned off on pause. And Keith Anthony, I think we're saying the same thing. You're probably saying it the right way, and I'm explaining it in a more clumsy fashion, but yes, the player on the program page, right under where the pictures are flashing, where that bar is, we're saying the same thing, is you just push that and it'll pause it. And then we'll talk about some more of those things when I unmute the mics all together in just a minute. Okay, last person who has their hands up right now, and I apologize for the wait, area code 941, is that my buddy DJ?
It will always be your buddy DJ.
Well, you were not in the chat anymore, so I didn't know. It's not that other people from the same area code might not call, but hi, DJ, I'm glad to have you here tonight.
Kim, it's been an emotional week. You know, we got the 2-1-1 thing going. We've got brain injury radio moving on. And I was a little disappointed, I'll get right to it, with you and Les being the leaders of the new generation of brain injury radio. I had to think about it. I talked to Francie, who I love so much. We are getting along so well. She's the love of my life. And I thought about it. I prayed for guidance, as I usually do. And I said, you know what? 2.5 years ago, I started with Craig with Brain Injury Radio. And we have moved along. And we brought it. We had Ashok. We've had Lee Carlson. We've had several great hosts. We've had amazing shows. And now it's come to this. And Craig and I talk on the phone on a regular basis. And, you know, I think to myself, the disappointment of not being voted as a part of the person to bring Brain Injury Radio, Blog Talk Radio, into the next future was so disappointing. And then, the disappointment that Craig didn't even call me has already dissipated in this show right here, because this is where we started. You are the epitome of where we started a few years ago. Craig said there was nothing. We're going to start something. And we did. And I contributed, because every week I had either brain injury rehabilitation, a shunt, hydrocephalus, litigation. And you know me by now. You're one of my very best pats on the back. And now you know why, because I have been through all this. And now I see it. Craig wants to bring it to AM radio. Here's my opinion of what needs to happen next. You, Les Paul, Matt, and all the people. people that just came along. Keep going with Blog Talk Radio, Brain Injury Radio. And if Craig and I can bring it to AM radio and beyond, then it's going to be, honestly, they're only going to take superior shows. And you have superior shows. So does Les Paul. So does a lot of them. But I don't want this to be taken wrong. I think that they want a certain thing. I don't know yet. I haven't been privy to that, believe me. But I think they're going to want two or three people to put out, like, amazing shows or, you know, satisfy CBS, NBC, ABC type of ratings on a 30-minute, 30-minute, two-hour, three-hour rating show. And I think there's only certain people that can do that, and I might get in trouble for saying that. But I think that we are doing an amazing thing. I think either way it's going to go to another level. I think the new 211 call network is going to help us. And last thing I'd like to say is I hear your voice tonight, and Kim, you and I have talked many times. I had a colonoscopy today. I'm 49 years old, and I'm starting to realize I'm not going to make it forever. I almost died at 41. But your voice tonight is of love. It sounds like there's a little bit of scariness. I talked to you on the phone, not often, but the other day a little bit. There's a little bit of stuff going on in your family, and I know that. And I feel it in your voice, and that's what we need. We need to keep these shows going with the love. And we have a real life. Yes, we had a brain injury, but, hell, my mother might be sick. My uncle might be sick. Hell, we might. My cousin's daughter was just born with a heart problem, and they said they can't operate on her until her heart gets strong enough to operate on her. And that's like 3 or 4 months. And, hell, we even hope that she'll even last that long. You know, we don't have, and that's the joy of our shows, Kevin, Maggie, the magnificent Maggie, Les Paul, Keith Anthony. We don't have any headstrong people that go, me, 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 me. This is what happened to me, me, me. We need your help. Here's what we're going to do tonight. Please call in. Les Paul is one of the most loving, most tender, caring people. Matt gets everybody up with his guests. You are the best interview person. I will never, ever forget Gina's.
I know.
Oof.
I know.
We have. Oh, I shouldn't do this. I didn't think I would do this.
It's okay.
We have amazing. We got to keep it going. But here's what I propose. I propose that if Craig wants to go to AM radio, and be honest with me, I think there's only two or three people right now that can go to AM radio, get a neurosurgeon 1 week, a neuropsychologist the next week, do a good, honest, great interview on AM radio, because they're not gonna take certain things. I've already been told that. I know that. And I think that we need to keep going on Blog Talk Radio, Brain Injury Radio. I haven't talked to Craig about this. Not at all. But I do need, I think that we should, it's almost like baseball. There's the major leagues and the minor leagues. And I don't want to say that, you know, some people are going to be better than others, but I think that people have been doing it for 2 or 3 years might have an envelope toward the AM radio show for now. And then there's got to always be people coming up. And maybe we can just keep moving it that way. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, and I'm going to unmute Les Paul for a minute, because, first of all, when you said that you weren't called, we weren't exactly kind of known in passing that we won the, first of all, I want to say that an email was sent out to all the hosts because Craig wanted it to be a group decision. He didn't just pick somebody. He didn't want to be
And then there was a vote.
And then there was a vote. And so you might be reading more in, or we don't know yet either, what our position is on Brain Injury Radio. You and Craig might be doing more of the heavy lifting when it comes to going out and doing the things that you guys do best, talking to the AM radio stations and doing some of that stuff. You know, those might be the things that you guys are going to be doing. I think what Craig didn't want to do, and I don't really want to speak for Craig either, but the way I understand it, and that take that for what it's worth, the way I understand it, and then Les Paul can comment, is that, you know, there have been things where hosts have had a complaint, people in the chat room have had an issue, people have written in that have listened, that have taken offense to something. And Craig is a man of big plans, like you were talking about. He really wants to grow this whole movement, and he's involved in so many things.
He sure is.
That what he doesn't want to do is yield the, I don't know a nice way to put this, but he doesn't want to field the day-to-day issues that come up on Brain Injury Radio. He wanted a couple people, you know, that could show up and run the board if somebody gets into trouble, you know, that we can try to pick up the board or pick up the slack, to, you know, keep things organized, focused.
Honestly, I don't think I'm the person for that, because I think a lot of people, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I've been on Brain Injury Radio since its inception in November of 2010. I started Team High Level in November of 2010, and I have been in Joe's group. I've been in Marlo's group, Wendy's group, Brain Injury Association America, New Jersey, and all over the place. And I have seen the negative people. And I'll be honest with you, there's names behind those people. And what you've got to do is learn those names. There's certain people that they're just not good people. There was somebody that told me in a brain injury rehab that made perfect sense to me, that your behavior before a brain injury gets accentuated after a brain injury. Kim, think about it. Think about what you were. You were a successful, beautiful lady who made some money. I don't know, but I think so. I call it successful. Let's go with that. Les Paul, I don't think he was a dumbass before he got hurt. I wasn't. But I'll tell you what, I was a survivor. I made a lot more money than I make now, but I do a lot more with it now. So I was told your behavior is accentuated. So if you are a jerk, or if you're a complainer, if you're a constant crier, guess what? It gets accentuated with a brain injury. It doesn't get better. It gets accentuated. And that's what we've got to understand with brain injury. There's some people we've just got to shut off. Caregivers. What do they have to do with brain injury? The person that they're taking care of is brain injured. Okay, so they have to deal with laws, and they have to deal with Medicare, Medicaid. But I don't really think that they should be on sites criticizing brain-injured people.
No.
So
no.
The bottom line is, and I'll finish with this, is that I'm not upset anymore. I'm not upset because I think that Craig and I should try to work ourselves hard in getting this to AM radio. And I do have a connection at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Connecticut, who used to run it, actually. He's with Multimedia Networking. He's very tied in. I just found him on LinkedIn. He hasn't responded as of yet, but, he has actually, and said, yes, very interested in talking to you. For those that don't know it, and I'm not going to announce it big time, Kim knows what I'm about to say. I was very, very involved in the national sponsorship of our current sponsor, and I'll leave it at that. I do have a way of getting things done.
Absolutely.
I'm not an idiot. I find answers, I find lawyers, and Team High Level ain't no joke, ladies and gentlemen. We do find answers for people. I'm no joke. If you don't like me, you know what? I almost want to say F you. F you.
Well, DJ, we love you. I just want to say that myself because I appreciate you for all the things you do. Because I love the term Team High Level. When I first saw Team High Level, I said, here's somebody who really, really gets it. We are high level. Just because...
It used to be called... When I first started the group on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
I was on group and, you know, a few other... Joe's... Look, I love Joe Martin. A lot of people don't think I do, and a lot of people think we just don't get along. Well, that might be true to a point. We disagree on a few things, but I'll be honest, I'll never, ever, ever say anything bad about Joe Martin. I just do things a little bit different. I'm hooked mm-hmm. into... I want answers. I want them now. Just like I was in brain injury rehab for 44 months. I didn't have... You know, it's nice to have an HBOT link and then a link about brain injury and what parts of the brain. The next link could be... I don't care about that. When I was in brain injury rehab, I needed a lawyer that can handle my case. I want people to come to Team High Level. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you who did it, but somebody side-chatted me yesterday and said, can you friend this person? He's an emergency room nurse that just had a car accident and is just totally beside... Emergency room nurse that doesn't know the legal process. Really? Who do you think is better to teach that? Now, I don't know if that person was, you know, part of workers' compensation. Maybe they were an intern. Now, there's so many questions to ask. And you know what? I'm going to friend that person. I did get the link tonight. I'm going to friend that person. Team High Level only has 146 people in it. There's groups like the lady the other night. I think Les, you interviewed her. She was one of the most amazing people I've ever heard.
Are you talking about Deborah Swag?
Oh my God! Oh, good Lord!
No.
I never heard anything like that in 7.5 years of being brain injured. 5 kids, one of them 25, one 5 years old.
Oh, okay.
And I mean just. Running the gauntlet, and I don't know how today went. I would love to shut up and get a breakdown on how today went, but that lady is like bubblegum on crack. She was amazing.
She really was. And, DJ, the last thing I want to say on this, and then we'll kind of move off this topic, and I do appreciate your honesty in bringing it out. This isn't a competition, and I don't want anybody's feelings to be hurt. We're a team, and Les Paul and I talked about it. We all want to help this thing grow, so we want you to bring your ideas to
exactly.
us. But see, only do Brain Injury Radio. You are so involved in Team High Level. You're so involved on... the advocacy and all of your research that you do and helping Craig with the AM stuff, that, you know, there is something to be said for people that have brain injuries who get tired or they do this, they do that, that, you know, if somebody loads their bucket with too many things, it isn't going to work out, and you're already doing a lot of things. And so, you know, basically, I just look at it, and again, Les Paul can speak for himself after this, but I look at this, and by the way, this was not a permanent position. You know, it might get dumped on your lap, and you can be the complaint department next. Part of our job is that we're going to run into complaints.
If I can say something, I didn't think that was what the vote was going to be all about, because I've only seen one little argument, and, you know, we're not going to mention who that was.
But no.
In 2.5 years, I've never really seen a problem on Brain Injury Radio, and I don't really even remember that argument with our lady friend. But
more than you might think. You talk to Craig a lot, and he told me that daily something comes in.
I just think we should keep it focused on the positive of brain injury, too, because people are looking at us and watching us, and they're waiting for us to slip up and waiting for us to fail because there are too many people that don't want to see us succeed. And we're here to hear some complaints, but also we're here to positively motivate and empower people to find that power they need to move to the next day, because a lot of us can't even get up to the next day without it.
I've had so many people start your own damn group. If you don't like what I'm doing, I mean, I'm hard charging. Kim doesn't have a problem with it. Anybody that's ever had a workers' compensation case, and I've had a few, they mostly side chat me. You guys, you will never know, and I probably shouldn't say this because I'm not for sure, but you'll never know the millions of dollars probably already that I've helped people win. And I can say that honestly, from Rhode Island to Florida to Illinois, there's been some cases that people said, I can't talk to you about it. Ohio, but I'd like to talk to you about it. Well, then side chat me. Well, how do I do that? Watch this. And all of a sudden, hey, how you doing? And they're like, oh, we can do this? Yes. I'll teach you how to use Facebook. I'll teach you how to use a cell phone.
I'm glad you can do that. But
know the law. I've been through it. And you know what? Sitting on a bar stool back in 2004, if somebody would have walked into the bar and said, how's it going? Good. Good. How are you? Good. You want to play some darts? Yeah. And you get to know somebody, or you want to play on my softball team? Look like a good athletic guy, 6'3", blue eyes, 190 pounds. What do you do? Well, I got hurt at work, and I'm going through a workers' comp case. And I need a lawyer. Oh, good luck. That's what I would have said. Good luck. And I would have thrown my darts, drank my beer, and gone home. Now it's like, whoa, what kind of case you got? You know, if you really, truly have a case, you need to come to me, and I'll stay in the background. And I don't – the thing that I hate about not being voted as a person that takes complaints, I love complaints. And Les and Kim, I think you know, if you have any problems and you have anybody that really – you can't answer the question, you know where I can go.
Absolutely.
I can go.
Oh, we'll lean on you. So let's just go to the positive bold side right now, because there's a lot of people listening. I found out the other day when Deborah Swag was on my show that there were 125,000 people listening. It didn't show that on what I was seeing, and so I was blown away by that. And I'm saying, wow, there's that many? And she said, yes, I've got data showing it, and she told me all about it. She met with me in my office where I work at Walton Options, and we spent the whole day talking on brain injury. And so there are voices listening to us all across the nation that we don't even know about. So we
I agree.
She said something that triggered me a bit, and she said the word neurorestorative. I don't know what her connection with is, but they're part of the mentor network, and I really was not treated too well by the Mentor Network, and now they're branching out. They're owned by the same bank, and they're changing their name. And I have this from very reliable people, but they're now calling themselves Neurorestorative, which is a weird name. I think it's in competition with Neuro International, which I introduced back in May 26th. With Brain Injury Rehabilitation in America with Neil Flannery. Susan Connor loves Neil Flannery. He's a very ethical person. But Neurorestorative is a fly-off of the Mentor Network. And I'll go on record as saying that. Anybody that wants to call me or email me and tell me what's different. But the rehabilitation model is what needs to change in America. We need Gabby Giffords' rehabilitation model. Anything for us, for us, for us. Not for the insurance company. I mean, the insurance company thinks, well, we'll give them 6 weeks of neurocognitive. I've seen it. I spent three years and 8 months in brain injury rehabilitation. You're not going to find too many other people that did that. But there was only really a year of it, and there was only about a day or two a week in that first year that I actually did something. Now, Kim, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If a shirt costs $5.69 to dry clean, how much would two shirts cost?
Twice that.
Unless there's a percentage off for each one.
Four months into my rehabilitation, this is the type of questions I was getting from a speech pathologist at the Mentor Network in North Tampa. And I looked at this lady and I said, are you effing kidding me? I said, this is the stupidest thing I've ever caught. 569 times 2 is 1038. What the hell is the problem? She said, you just did it 13 seconds faster than the last time I asked you. I went, This
yeah.
is where we're at after 5 months. And it just, it's that mentality. We have interactive metronome. We have hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I want to get Lee Gerds on a show and do something about brain state technologies. They're doing amazing things. And that's what I want you guys to do. Start drilling up people that are doing amazing things with brain injury rehabilitation. Get the brain injury rehabs in your area. We're in Nebraska. They're doing it. They're somewhere in Nebraska. There's got to be.
Yeah, Pete is still going to be doing their own show their own way, and we are a team, each has strength. That's one of the reasons why I think it would be very enlightening for everybody to take, and we do have 15 minutes left, so I'm not going to continue a lot longer down this path except to say we all have strengths, and that was one of the reasons I'm having the show next week, and it would be fun and enlightening for people to participate and find out what their strengths are, because you have a lot of strengths that I don't have. And just because, you know, we're in the position we're in right now doesn't mean we aren't a team and that everybody is going to be bringing their strengths to the table. And no really going to be telling people what to do. We're going to be making some suggestions, and we want some suggestions because we're a team, and what we want to do, what we want to try to do is have everybody using their strengths and bringing that to the table, because the one thing that we're going to do, Les Paul and I agreed on, and maybe other people felt different, is that before egos, before personal ways we conduct shows, the most important thing is brain injury radio. And the rest of it is all secondary. So
yeah.
The most important thing is brain injury and recovery from brain injury.
But we're talking about the importance of brain injury radio because it is coming through brain injury is all she means.
That's what we're talking about. We're only... Brain injury.
And I is try to bring the best guests, Nicole D, Lee Carlson, so many of the prior show hosts before you have done amazing jobs bringing on, and you have too, and I'm not saying you haven't. I mean, last night was just blew me away. It's just that I really want to go with Craig and go to try to get this on AM radio. I do know a guy, like I said, in Connecticut I'm trying to get a hold with and say, dude, this is well worth it. And it's multimedia. There's, 3.2? We're up to 3.2 million people a year, which is 10%. Think about it. Kim, you're a numbers person. 10% of anything is pretty damn good. 10%.
But we've also got to remember that sometimes people are also not feeling well, and like sometimes music. I know some people don't always like music, and we're not all music, But at the same time, the music does help sometimes. It brings peace to people. And sometimes someone might have a show where a comedian comes on and talks and teaches people how to be funny again after a brain injury, different things like that. And then next time have a neuro professional come on. My next guest, who was actually scheduled for yesterday, and I had Cindy Anzik come on because he had to cancel because his child was sick, is Dr. Jeremy Herza. He'll be on next Tuesday. And he's a behavioral specialist, and he is just A++++. He's wonderful. And so I'm going to have him on. Maybe you can talk to him some and ask some questions of him when he comes on. So I think a mixed match, a hodgepodge of some of the different things that make the world go round, but also make us happy, because sometimes a person after a brain injury, they need something just to find the peace of brain injury, after a brain injury, because they're hurting so bad. With me, pain.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just want to finish with this. I think Kim is the best interviewer because, like she said, I went 17 years. I didn't go 17 days. I didn't go 17 hours without being without a brain injured person around me for 3 years and 8 months. I didn't really go that much even after that. I think she is the best interviewer of a brain injured person I have ever heard on Brain Injury Radio.
I think she did fabulous tonight, and she was thinking that she was going to do bad because she didn't feel good.
Well, I think it's something that Kim and I need to talk about tomorrow. She's got some personal things going on, and I love her so much. I love you, Kim, and I think you know what I'm talking. We talked just the other day, and I love you. I love you. I love you so much. You have so much heart, and I know what's going on with your family, and she's got just such a beautiful heart. But you, Les, you've got what Craig had 2.5 years ago. When I first started listening to Brain Injury Radio, it was you. It was you. It was just getting that. It was Matt Duffin.
I don't know if I've ever shared with you how I found Brain Injury Radio. It was about 2.5 years ago. I'd been searching for something as a resource for people who live in the community but couldn't attend a support group. And I kept looking and looking, and all of a sudden Brain Injury Radio was there. I didn't call in for a long time, but I actually joined up on the board 2.5 years ago, right after it started. And I didn't call in because I'm thinking, nah, I should never call in on this. Who'd want to hear me? I'm the brain injured guy that everybody's looking at like something's wrong with. And but it kept piquing my interest, and I'd listen to Craig, and I'd hear you come on, and I'd hear different people. So you inspired me. We're here as a team to inspire one another and inspire this massive, massive, gigantic sucking sound of people with brain injuries falling off a cliff, but here to help them get back up.
Well, you and Matt Duffin and Kim, you've brought some of the best, most interesting guests on, and I know we're getting short on time, and I had a colonoscopy this morning, and I got to be honest with you, it was simple. I can't believe it. I don't mean to laugh,
but that's funny the way you said that all of a sudden.
It's so funny because you worry about it, you drink all that stuff, and yeah, blah, 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 I don't want to be too graphic. But I'm going to be honest with you how simple it was. You roll over and they say, this is what we need to do. I said, okay, do it. And you go to sleep, and 45 minutes, you wake up later and go, how you doing? There's no, I'm sitting on my butt right now, and there's no pain. They took out 2 polyps. I don't know what that means. I read about it. I'll read about it tomorrow. But I'm a lucky man. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We need to talk about medical care in this country. Do it right. Do I need to walk around with my butt bleeding and then going to the local clinics and, oh, gosh, maybe that might lead to disability? Do we need to walk with a brain injury undiagnosed? Eventually it goes undiagnosed and we go into Social Security. Our veterans, look at Stephen Cunningham's story the other day on Brain Injury Radio. Oh, my God. That's what we've got to change. We've got Brent Fuse's protocol dude, we've got so much work to do. I love you guys. I'm going to say goodnight.
Okay.
We've got about five minutes,
and I got to do some housekeeping. And I don't want to cut you off, but I don't want our shows to get – one of those improvements is I don't want our shows getting cut off in the middle of a sentence anymore. So thank you. I love you to death, too. I got to put you on mute a minute and make some final comments and then let us out without getting cut off the show tonight. So thank you so much. And for your comments. I appreciate your honesty and your input. And I think all I want to say is a parting shot on that, and then Les Paul can address it on his show, is I believe that everybody needs a little something different. There's a big audience of listeners out there, and we're getting bigger all the time on Brain Injury Radio, and our needs are not always the same. In fact, on any given day, an individual's need isn't the same. My need one day might be that I really need to have a technical, informative speaker, and some nights I just need a place to go kick back and unwind a little bit. And so, you know, everybody needs a little something different. And so if we had seven nights a week of the exact same thing, I think we'd probably lose some listeners. And so we're all a team. We want to use everybody's strengths. We're not Nazis that want to take over anything. We want very much and encourage all of your input, not only the hosts but the listeners, as to what you're looking for. And the hosts that have the best strengths to deliver that will be the ones that Les Paul and I go and talk to. And if it's something highly technical, then you can bet we're going to be going to DJ and asking if he'd be willing to do a show on that. If it's on independent living, we're going to be going to Les Paul and asking him if he'll do a show on that. If it has to do with self-hypnosis or healthcare in England or whatever, we're going to be going to Keith Anthony. If we want to know about the veterans, we're going to be, you know, going to Kevin, et cetera, et cetera. And so all of us have strengths. All of us have a different style. To me, that's the appeal of this radio show. All of us are going to be looking for improvements to best serve our audience. And that right now is going to be variety on the show so that everybody gets a little something of what they need at any given time. And so, again, we want to thank you for listening to the show. We want to thank you all for your contributions. We appreciate all of your strengths and are going to be relying on you for them. This didn't mean that we turned over and we're making all the rules and that we have to change and know everything about everything. That's not what a team is. You know, the people who are the team leaders for the moment, or whatever you want to call us, are the people that are going to be able to maybe go and say, hey, we have a need for this, or somebody wrote in and they want to know about this. This is your strength. We recognize this as being your strength. Do you think you could do a show on this? So we're just going to be always striving to have the best shows that we can have to best serve our audience, and we're all going to be growing. The station's going to be growing, and I look forward to all of the exciting things that are going to be happening on Brain Injury Radio and the peer group support line. And with that, we are at the end of our show, and we will be sending out a memo. This is all really new. There's not going to be a lot of drastic changes right now, but one of them I'd like to make, and we'll maybe put in the menu, is the whatever, is our show